This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these winter months, we've had the privilege of conversing with some remarkable individuals this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we're heading back to the Midwest to talk to an incredible hiker from Ohio. His name is Fergie, and you can follow him on Instagram at Ohio Earthwalker. Fergie shares with us some of the incredible places in and around Ohio, including Hocking Hill State Park and the numerous rock formations and ledges you can find throughout the state. He also shares with us an underrated workout he's been doing that can help you get ready to hit the trails this spring. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Fergie. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. We're going down to the Midwest today to visit with our friend Fergie, who's going to be sharing a little bit about his home state of Ohio and all the amazing outdoor experiences that it has to offer. Fergie, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You know, we always like to ask our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Well, thanks for having me, Ivan. Actually, I probably started hiking, you know, when I was pretty young. I had two aunts that would take me out a lot, and then my grandparents were big outdoors people. As that went on, you know, when I went to college, I really got into it. When I was at Arizona State, we'd do a lot of hiking just as a group. And then I have four children as well, and that was always a great way to get the kids outside. You know, it's free. Columbus has a lot of great metro parks. So we do a little nature walk and then stop by the playground when we were done. So that's how I got started. And then it just rolled into more of it because I just really love hiking. So
yeah. And I think Ohio is a hidden gem when it comes to not just hiking, but just outdoor experiences in general. Do you have any favorite places in state that you like to explore?
It's an easy number one is the Hocking Hills region, Hocking Hills State Park. And it's pretty well known, I think, but it's got so many gorgeous waterfalls and gorges and ravines and caves where there's a lot to do. I mean, you could spend a whole weekend there easily and still not see all of it.
Yeah. How would you describe the hiking or outdoor scene in and around Ohio? Because I imagine like each region of Ohio might have a different outdoor scene than like, say, the north compared to the south or east compared to the west.
Well, it does. It's really cool because we're right on the hills of the Appalachians. So from the northeastern all the way to the southwestern area, there are some really good size hills. Some have a name of mountain, but I don't think they're quite up there. But the cool thing about Ohio and its geography is it's right where the last ice age, it's right where the main glaciers ended. So you've got a flat region, but then you have what these mile high, thousands of mile wide blocks of ice. And when they melted, all that water created a lot of beautiful gorges and everything else. So it's got a lot of variety, but you got a lot of waterfalls. Ohio's full of water. We've got Lake Erie, the Ohio River. But even around me, there's streams, rivers, creeks everywhere, and a lot of trees. One of the favorite quotes I remember my aunt telling me when I was a child is that Ohio, before the settlers came, a squirrel could go from Lake Erie to the Ohio River without ever touching the ground. So As a child, I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, you know, one thing, Fergie, that really caught my attention, and I think it's what makes Ohio so intriguing to me, and that's the impressive rock formation and ledges that are found in a lot of your park. Are any of those formations found in a specific region of Ohio, or are they kind of scattered throughout the state?
They really are scattered. So they're up, you know, near Cleveland and Cuyahoga. There's a lot of them in the Hocking Hills region. And then you can find them in southern Ohio. There's another area, the Arc of Appalachia, where there's some really cool gorges. And even out by Dayton and Springfield, like Clifton Gorge. But the majority of them were caused by the melt from the glacier and just the erosion. So there's a lot of nice areas to get to.
Do you have any favorite places to visit for some of these amazing rock formation or maybe ledges?
I think what I really wanted to mention is Hyatt Park. It's way out east and kind of in a remote area. It's a really beautiful gorge. And near there, there's Raven Rocks as well, where you can see just some beautiful waterfalls and really hike through the gorge. The other area is the Arc of Appalachia, and it's not really near anything. The town of Peebles, Ohio, just to let you know how remote it is, once we wanted to go see the Bengals game at a sports bar afterwards, and the closest one was over a half hour away. Yeah, that one's a hidden gem, but it's really well taken care of by the group. It's called Arc of Appalachia. But there are some cool ones even up a lot of ledges, like Hinckley Ledges, Nelson Kennedy Ledges, and then the ledges in Cuyahoga.
You know, what's interesting is you've been able to share a few of these spots, but there's a few of those rock formations where it's a small gap, or it seems like a small gap, but they've been able to put like almost stone steps leading you in between these two giant rock formations. Is that something that's common in some of these parks that you've mentioned already?
On a lot of the older ones, you can tell where there are stone steps, especially a lot of the more main attractions in Hocking Hills region, and there are some down south as well. Ohio has a lot of people that promote and take care of the areas too, so we're very fortunate with that. The parks, I think, are pretty well promoted.
Such a wide variety. You know, there's a couple parks that come to mind that really caught my attention that they're not state parks or national forests, but I'm blanking on the name, Fergie. Maybe you can help me out, but it's something Metro Park that comes up on your feed a lot, that has some just amazing trails with like some boardwalks. I mean, it's just a unique
place. Woods, is it? Or that's the one I'm at a lot. Now that one is, it's kind of cool because I live close to where I grew up. So that's where I would go hiking a lot as a younger, like as a child, that's where people would go. And now it's just close to where the YMCA I do yoga at. So often I'll do yoga and then take a walk out there. And it's actually about 7 minutes away from my house. And it was the first Metro Park. And Columbus is actually very fortunate too, because our Metro Park system, it's well supported. Usually any levy passes for it. And their goal was to have a park within like so many minutes of every person that lived in Central Ohio. And I think they're finally able to do that. And those are nice too, because the trails are gravel typically or boardwalk. So it's for the people that, you know, aren't as rugged. And it's like I said, I would take my children there a lot when they're younger. They usually have playgrounds and everything else. So it's a great place to like introduce people to hiking. And then I also enjoy night hiking out there. A lot of times they don't close till after it gets dark. And it's a lot easier to follow a white gravel trail than to try to stay on the leaves and dirt, you know, in a state park or something. So
now, you know, this episode is going to come out in the middle of winter, but through your feed, I've been able to see that Ohio has an amazing fall hiking season, especially with the fall foliage that appears. How was your fall hiking season this last year? And what's the fall colors like in Ohio?
Oh, they're gorgeous. And I made the most of it this year, just made a point of it, because we do get the reds, oranges, yellows, but there's also a mix of evergreens, which puts a nice splash of green in there as well. So it is beautiful, just like the pictures you'll see in like northeastern America. We get all the colors, and then you can see off the ledges. Conkle's Hollow is one I really love because you can see far off into the hills and all the variety of colors.
I was really impressed with some of the pictures that you took this last fall. Just the variety of colors, like you said, is just outstanding.
I love the colors too. And it's something that people just make sure to get out to. And it's something you can kind of miss though, because it's only really like a maybe 3-4 week season, or you can follow it from northern Ohio down to southern Ohio. Even the meteorologist will put out a map so you can extend it, but sometimes if you get busy, it's gone before you know it, and that's happened to me in the past. So I made sure to get out there every day, and sometimes I'd take 3 hikes in a day over the weekend, just kind of hit spots on my way home.
And Fergie, is there like a typical window where, you know, people visiting could expect to see the fall colors and, you know, peak colors or getting towards peak colors?
If you're aiming, I'd say the middle of October is the best. It usually starts beginning of October, and then it'll go through the end of November, or not end of November, beginning of November. But if you're planning a trip, because it is weather dependent and temperature dependent, middle of October, you're sure to be close to something good.
And before we started recording, you know, I was telling you how awesome it was to see that no matter the season, you're out there almost every single day out on the trail. And that includes the middle of winter. And you've been able to see some pretty amazing places during the winter hiking season. What's the winter hiking season like in Ohio? And what are some of your favorite winter destinations?
One of the best parts about the winter is that you can get out there, because even the hills we have are tree covered. So you can really see a lot farther in the winter once all the foliage is down. So you get to see more overview of the land. But then with all the gorges and waterfalls as well, when it gets cold enough, they freeze and you'll see some beautiful ice formations, you know, rocks lined with icicles, frozen waterfalls. There's even one that looks like an angel in Conkle's Hollow. It's called Angel Falls. And the way it freezes, it looks like a human wearing kind of like a dress with two wings coming out of it. It is pretty awesome. I've got a friend that I go with a lot, and he's kind of a waterfall hunter in a way and a hiker, where he knows where a lot of the great ones are. And a lot of times I just tag along and I follow him to the cool spot.
And one of the cool spots that you've shown on your feed, and you've mentioned it already a few times, and that's Hocking Hills State Park?
Yeah, Hocking Hill. It's like the Hocking Hills region. And then there's also a state park that holds some of the main attractions, but there's also a state forest, and it's just kind of an area in Ohio. And there's also Hocking County.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff in that area.
Yeah, and you've been able to show them with ice, snow, and there was one great video that you shared. I'm not sure when it was, but it was with snow and ice off the falls, but then where the water was hitting at the base of the waterfall, it was creating almost like a giant ice mound at the base.
Yeah. I think that was last winter. I went out with my friend Joe Evans. And it's just, it depends. It really is like what the temperature is and how exactly the ice forms. So it's not always same, you know, every time you go out there. But there are some really cool things that happen like that. I remember one that my sons will remember as children. There was a waterfall that was frozen from top to bottom. But if you walked up to it and put your ear on it, you could hear the water running through the middle. It sounded like a bathtub running. But that was even, that was even another cool happening. But you get amazing ice sculptures, you could call them.
And Fergie, is there also caves at Hocking Hills State Park? Are those just like rock formations that have been carved out by water? It seemed like there's like almost like a cave system there.
There's caves now, not like underground caverns you would think of. More of like, they're called recessed caves, which are formed by waterfalls. And it's just where the softer rock from below has fallen and gone away. So it's more of like a diagonal giant cave where you'd have a nice roof over you. And there are some smaller caves you can kind of crawl into.
Would you recommend having a light source if you're going to enter some of those recessed caves? Are they pretty well lit?
For the recessed caves, they're pretty well lit. A lot of times you can go to the back of them and it's kind of darker in there and just smells real earthy, but you can still see out. There are smaller caves where you do need a light source, and those are always kind of fun to crawl into.
Now, Ohio is home to Cuyahoga Valley National Park. What's been your experiences visiting that national park?
I've actually only been there a handful of times just because it's over a couple hours away. But when I've been up there, originally the first two times where they have this scenic railway. And one of my sons, when he was a toddler, loved trains. So we did that twice for his birthday. And you get to see a lot on that. And it's actually a cool system they have because they'll carry your bike. So you can ride your bike through it one way and then take a train ride back. And it actually takes you past really nice like bald eagle's nests and heron rookery. And then I've also been to the main attractions there, which is Brandywine Falls, which is a gorgeous waterfall. And then the Ledges, which is, it's a really cool place because these giant stone hallways you get to walk through, or it's almost, you feel like you're in a movie. And there is a very nice overlook there as well. And there's also several other very cool waterfalls out there. But every time I've been up there, I did go to Brandywine and the Ledges and then try to explore something else.
And is there a season that you would recommend folks that are interested in crossing that national park off the list? A good time to go and visit?
I would say spring or fall are two of the best times in Ohio. Spring, you get a lot more water flow, so the waterfalls will be looking pretty awesome. And then in fall, you get the foliage as well. It can get pretty muggy in the summer. I mean, I've been up there before, even in the middle of July, and it wasn't too bad. Actually, we had fun, you know, that time of year is when you take your shoes off and you walk in the water, put on your water shoes and walk in the creek instead of on the trail.
Okay.
And kind of cool you down a little bit. Unfortunately, sometimes we'll have dry fall. So the waterfalls won't really, or dry, yeah, dry fall. And then the waterfalls won't be flowing as well. It just really depends. But yeah, we definitely have a wet spring.
You know, Fergie, one thing that I've learned, especially from your feed, is Ohio has a diverse set of outdoor spaces. You've already mentioned the metro parks in and around your neighborhood, but you guys also have some amazing state parks and wildlife preserves, or even just smaller community parks. What have been some of your favorite off-the-beaten-path parks that you've been able to visit?
Well, I even went to today. It's called Sheedy Nature Sanctuary, and that is literally just in the middle of a bunch of farm fields. And it's just an area that's been preserved. And it's just, it's typical Ohio, but it's just really beautiful with the streams and the trees that go through it. I did mention Highlands Nature Sanctuary earlier, and that around it where you get prairies and everything else, but it's just, it's very well supported. A lot of them are just run by the county, and there's 88 counties in Ohio. So each county will have its own little park system.
Nice. And are those preserves and other places at least not as frequented as some of the state parks or even the national park?
Yeah, no, it depends on what time of day. Like, there was nobody there today when I first got there, but as I was leaving, there was a bunch of people taking their dogs right before sunset. And it just depends on where you're at. Down in southern Ohio, it's not as populated. If you get farther away from Cincinnati, then there's a lot of cool state parks like Great Seal and just park systems out there where you can be the only one on the trail. And same with eastern Ohio as well.
Fergie, I don't know if you know. I know that places nearby are starting to have long through hike trails outside of the AT. Is there a state trail there that runs either north or south or east or west of the state?
There's actually one called the Buckeye Trail.
Oh, no kidding.
It runs the Giants Circle. Yes, it's, I think, 1,400 miles. And it goes down around Cincinnati, through Hocking Hills, through southern Ohio, all the way up into Cleveland, through Cuyahoga, and then out west towards, it goes south of Toledo, but it does a big circle. And the southern portion of it is actually part of the North Country Trail, the one that goes from New York to North Dakota. Yeah, you can do that. And there's a whole association that helps take care of it. And people like to section that out as they go and try to do the whole thing eventually. But there are areas you can do longer hikes as well. The camping is just something you want to check on, because a lot of the state parks have designated camping areas.
And, you know, that brings me to the next question. You've been able to do some backpacking there in Ohio. How's the backpacking experiences that you've been able to have there?
I say adequate, not like when I've been on the Appalachian Trail. There are some really cool sections. A lot of them, it is designated camping areas, though, so you just want to make sure you can get to it. There are some great places like Archer's Fork. Wild Hollow is a good one to start at. Zaleski State Park has a really nice one where you can even do a couple days. And then Shawnee State Park, which is down south. It's also called like the Baby Appalachians. I think you could do like a several or even week long. They have enough trail out there and enough camping spot. Yeah, it's like a great place if you're going to be doing the Appalachian Trail to kind of practice. So there are a good amount. I wish there was more just for the variety as someone that likes to backpack, but there's definitely enough to keep me satisfied and not have to go too far from home.
And outside of Ohio, for you, you've been able to explore and hike around different parts of the country from my neck of the woods in the Pacific Northwest down to the desert Southwest. What have been some of your favorite hiking destinations outside of Ohio?
Outside of Ohio, if I'm the top five, there was really enjoy the Appalachian Trail with my friend, North Carolina, Tennessee area. Went up and saw waterfalls up near Hudson, New York. It was a really cool experience. And then out, I have family that lives all over. So there's a lot of great spots in Arizona that I've enjoyed. And just going out there, of course, you have to see the Grand Canyon, and then Flagstaff's got a nice variety. And then even taking the desert hikes, if you go at the right time of year, you don't have to worry about dehydration or everything else. But it has been my favorite so far. Unfortunately, I have a sister that lives in Seattle, so it's a great home base. And as I mentioned before, she also lived in Sandpoint. So I've gotten to see a lot of that state and the diversity there, and it's just always so many awesome things to see. And she's a great hostess as well. She's a planner, and sometimes all you got to do is show up, and she takes you to these cool places.
Yeah, because you've been able to visit Mount Rainier a couple times. You've visited the Olympics, and you said you even got a chance to fly into Spokane and see Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho.
Yeah, and I made a point of it when we got off the plane in Spokane to do a hike before I made the drive to Sandpoint, just because I wanted to see the area. And then we got to see the area of Sandpoint, and then also went into a Western Montana, which was just gorgeous. And you want to talk about remote? I mean, that was, yeah, saw so many stars out there and so many beautiful sights. And even the little restaurant we went to, I thought it was hilarious. I think everything was deep fried there. They did give me a little cup of peas on the side, get some greens in.
Oh, that's funny.
Actually, where I learned too that you should be more afraid of cougars than grizzly bears.
Yeah, so for me, being in Eastern Washington, there's a few black bears, but it's definitely the cougars that I'm carrying a bear spray for. But
Yeah. Well, that's what they told me out there, because we were just, we were afraid of bears, and you think bear spray and keep aware of it. But as we were in that small restaurant, we saw the bar where guys holding up these cougars they shot. And I remember the bartender kind of laughing at us. We're like, oh, we didn't realize. And they're like, oh, no, bears really want to avoid you. But those cats will sneak up on you like you're a toy and jump on you and whatnot. I was like, oh. I'm glad I learned this after my hike, so I wasn't as afraid, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. A grizzly or a black bear, more than likely you're sneaking up on them, where it's the other way around with the cougars. They're going to sneak up on you.
And I can only imagine. I do have four cats, and they're amazing hunters, so I can imagine if you make them a lot bigger, how great they would be at being a hunter, just so quiet. And we don't have them in Ohio, so there's a lot less worry. We don't even have wolves. Coyotes aren't going to really mess with people, so.
Yeah, so that brings a follow-up question for you. Have you had any unexpected wildlife encounters or any close calls, whether it's Mother Nature or, getting lost temporarily out on the trail?
Getting lost in the past, I'm pretty good at knowing where I'm at now. I use AllTrails a lot, and it works well in Ohio because it's a very state. Even when you're kind of further away, you usually have some kind of service, not like when you're out west in the more remote areas. Not too many with wildlife. There are bears in southern and eastern Ohio. I've only seen one once, and I was up on a ledge looking down on it. It didn't even know I was there. Deer will huff at you, but I've never been charged by one. And I've heard coyotes howling at night, even read articles on it that they don't really attack people. They're afraid of us, which is a good thing. So the biggest mistake I had was recently, and it was just with the winter getting darker earlier, I didn't plan properly to my car. I was on a 15-mile hike in the last 4 miles were in the dark. So I did hear the coyotes howling, but they didn't mess with me at all. Maybe, you can be your own worst enemy in Ohio, but there's really not a lot of poisonous snakes. Don't have to worry about those. There are some in like the Eastern Timber Rattler, but I guess they're extremely skittish. All my other main animal encounters have been out west, like when I did almost step on a rattlesnake once out by the Grand Canyon. Kind of going off trail near the campground, not actually going down into the canyon. And I was about to put my foot down, heard a rattle, looked down, there's a coiled up rattlesnake, turned, started running, and got about 5 feet before I ran into a tree. I was running so fast. The snake didn't bother me after that.
Now, one thing that I think Ohio is known for is the impressive thunderstorms that you guys get. Have you ever been caught in any thunderstorms?
Not a thunderstorm. I've been caught in rain before. With our phones and the service, you can see if stuff's coming up. So I've been able to plan it where I've been able to get back in time because I will hike in the rain a lot or right after rain just because I know the waterfalls will be flowing. I don't think they pop up quite like they do, like when you're in a mountaintop or something else. Because I remember being in Montana and seeing the storms come up on us, and being in Western Washington, how they can form like that. So I haven't had anything like that, fortunately. I've had heavy rain, but I always have a poncho and something else. Ohio's relatively safe, which is, makes hiking often quite easy. You don't have to worry about as much.
Now, Fergie, I always like to ask our guests, is there a regular routine that they do, whether it's when they reach the summit or maybe when they make it back out? For some people, it's packing a favorite beverage. For others, it's packing a favorite snack. And then sometimes it's just, getting some of their favorite meals afterwards. Is there a regular routine that you like to do?
After every hike, because hiking is actually pretty spiritual for me as well. So I do like the hands and center and just thank the woods. It's something that I try to do every time. And then when I'm out of Columbus, I enjoy stopping at, non-franchise restaurants and try to get a burger and a beer or something like that and try to find some of my favorite places and or new ones. Sometimes they're not so great, but majority of time it is pretty awesome. And those local people just love to talk to you, especially if you sit up at the bar. Hear some good stories.
And sometimes they're willing to share, hidden gems that are part of the trail systems there.
That is true. Something else I've noticed though, sometimes they have no idea that there's hidden gems in their area as well. I remember when I was going down to Wildcat Hollow, and I mentioned it to someone there, they had no idea what I was talking about. It's one of the more well-known backpack trails in Ohio. To each their own.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to your pack list, Fergie, is there anything that you would consider a luxury item that falls outside of your like 10 essentials?
Not really, just because when I do go, I really like to be as light as possible. I think I would overpack at the beginning. Usually I'm just so tired at the end. Sometimes, a favorite snack is fruit snacks. I don't really eat those at home, but I love eating them when I'm backpacking. I kind of use that as a freedom to eat whatever you want because you're burning all these calories. So bring a lot more candy and other sugary things on the trail. Sometimes I'll bring these like the spirit animal book that I have, but I don't even use that as often because you can look everything up online now. But I'm definitely a proponent of the lighter the better because I used to overpack. Like I'd probably, if I was going on an overnight, I'd bring so much food home with me. And I'm just like, man, I'm just making this harder on myself.
Same with me, Fergie. I'm still overpacking when it comes to food for overnighters and backpacking trips. I haven't been able to quite dial it in just yet. Now, with the start of 2024, that brings a new year, a new hiking season, and you've been really great with being able to get out almost every day, if not every day. Do you have any hiking goals for 2024?
No, and I didn't really think about it until I read your question. I'm more of a free spirit and kind of go with wherever, but I definitely want to do more backpacking this year just because I did actually tear my MCL in June. So I was supposed to go on a backpacking trip then and really haven't done as much as I normally do. So definitely more backpacking for next year. And then, I have the ultimate goal. I do want to plan an Appalachian Trail through hike. Right now, I'm kind of in transition. My kids are really just moving out. I'm about to be an empty nester. So I still want to be around for them. But once they get older, my youngest is 18 and they're fully set on their own. I'm definitely willing to disappear for 4 or 5 months and want to knock that out.
And you've been able to do some sections of the AT already, right?
Correct. I had a friend that started from Georgia, and he had the goal of doing it. You know, life's gotten in the way where I think he stopped somewhere in Virginia. And I've just been fortunate enough to join him on some of those weekend trips, which has been pretty awesome, you know. And quite an experience. I mean, you really, like, you get really tired sometimes and kind of learn more of the jokes. And I, you know, I love staying, like, just culture around it, the hostels and everything else. And it's such a cool experience.
Yeah. You know, the few people that I've been able to interview that have done the AT, just, you know, how remarkable, and the community that you not only develop within the trail, but also in trail towns. It's just remarkable.
It really is. Yeah. They make a living around it. Yeah. And that's what we've done. Even when we do our sections, you're able to do a pretty large section or even like a couple day section, but then it's not hard to find as a vehicle or a van or something else willing to take you back to your car. Makes it very convenient in that matter.
And do you have any travel goals? Are you thinking about making it back out west to either the Pacific Northwest or down in the Southwest again?
I think so. And I'd actually like to do both if possible. I have a brother that lives in Phoenix and then my sister that lives up in Seattle. So really, I'm just paying for the plane ticket, which is fortunate. And yeah, I know my brother really wants me to get out there. I haven't been out there since, I think it was 2021. He's always putting that in my ear. My sister, too, also lives in Montreal, and I haven't been up there to visit her. So I need to go up there, and I don't know the hiking up there, but I will definitely find out where it is. And that'd be a good summer place to go. I think it's a little cooler. I'm not sure about what the mosquitoes are like up there, but there's only one way to find out, right?
Exactly. Well, that was it, Fergie, for the regular questions. You know, this last portion of the podcast is a this or that questions. I'm going to give you two hiking-related topics, and you just choose which one you personally subscribe to. But the first one is, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Steep incline. I like looking up and going towards the goal.
All right. And the next one is waterfalls or summits?
That one was a hard one I saw, because I do love summits, but I like the intimate experience of some of those waterfalls a little bit more, where you get to sit and you're usually by yourself. And yeah, it feels a little more spiritual to me, and not taking anything away, because I do love the summits too. I'm the type that'll look over every ridge and just imagine, well, I wonder what's over there. And I wonder what's over there.
Now, this next one, Fergie, is about trail systems. Do you prefer a trail with switchbacks, or do you prefer just to go straight up?
I'd have to say switchbacks. And there's some parks, even in Ohio, that have both. And it's just, I think the switchbacks are more of an enjoyable experience.
Do you use trek poles, or do you prefer freehand?
When I'm backpacking, I use poles. Other than that, just freehand. I like being able to scramble and move around a lot more. But when I've got the heavy pack on, the poles definitely help.
And this next one's about footwear. Do you prefer trail runners or hiking boots?
I'm always trail runners. I even asked my sister this year, like, why do people wear hiking boots? And she mentioned, like, snow and things like that, or like creek crossings, which made sense to me. But I prefer the trail runners. And I actually, last time I hurt my ankle, which is a long time ago, I was wearing boots, and I feel like my ankles are, yeah, stronger not wearing them, because I've taken some pretty awful spills before wearing the trail runners and not being hurt. And also, a little side note, I do take dance classes as well, and I think that is a great exercise for any hikers, because it really prepares you for the things you don't expect, like tripping over roots and rock, hopping around in dance class, you know, moving side to side.
If people are listening to this in the middle of winter and they're trying to figure out how to get into spring hiking shape, dance classes might be the hidden gem.
I think it is. Wednesdays are my favorite. I take a step class followed by a hip hop class. Yeah, and it really does. It gets your whole body. Yeah, your knees are stronger, legs are stronger, and it's just, I'm well known for looking up when I shouldn't be at the beautiful views, and I'll trip over a root but not fall. I'll do some awesome little dance move out of it. So
now this next one, Fergie, is another trail system question. Do you prefer a loop trail or an out and back trail?
Loop guy, just because of the different scenery. Appreciate the different like angles of the out and back, but I definitely like the loops more, just because you're seeing more in my mind.
And with the overabundance of water there in Ohio, when you do have a trail system that has a water feature, do you at least touch the water or maybe even jump in, or do you prefer to stay dry?
I definitely at least touch the water. And I I told you it's kind of a spiritual thing for me as well. And I grew up going to Catholic school. So I think that's even part of it, because you used to like dip your fingers in the water. So whenever I go to a waterfall and it's safe, I will dip my head in the waterfall. Whenever I go to a place with a stream, I will take some water and kind of put it on my head. So
now these next couple ones are really hard. And the first one is, do you prefer sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
Sunset, only because I'm not a morning person. A lot easier getting to a sunrise or sunset than it is to a sunrise for me.
And you've been able to share some amazing pictures of both seasons, but when it comes to spring wildflowers or fall colors, do you prefer one or the other?
That's a tough one, really. I do like spring wildflowers, though, just because they're really up close, you know, up front, and they're kind of like little surprises everywhere. And I've had some pretty moving experiences with walking upon a place that you didn't expect, and the whole floor is just covered with flowers. I am a landscaper too, so I like flowers. Nothing against the fall colors, they're beautiful too. But
and then the last one, Fergie, is another tough one. It's new to this season. Outside of the national park system, in and around Ohio, do you prefer national forests or state parks?
In Ohio, we only have Wayne National Forest, so I'm going to have to go to state parks on that one because there are so many. The one thing that national forests have is it's more of an open camping, where state parks, it's designated camping areas.
Well, that was it for the this or that questions, Fergie. For folks that are interested in following your journey in 2024, what are some of the places they can follow you online and on social media?
Right now, I just have Instagram is my big one. And then I do have a YouTube channel, which I got away from. I need to get back onto just because I was having storage problems, but now I have a new phone. And that's either under Ohio Earthwalker or Fergie Fever.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link those in the episode show notes so people can follow your journey along. Fergie, it was awesome talking to you about Ohio and all your outdoor experiences. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Appreciate you having me. This was a lot of fun just talking with you, Ivan. It's a good time. Hopefully we can just talk again. And when I come out there, I'll let you know. I'd love to take a hike.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Fergie. We extend a heartfelt thanks to him for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow his upcoming adventures on Instagram at Ohio Earthwalker. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes for more. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the winter months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday, with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram, at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram, at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.